How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another Backstage Report, where once again it is me, Corey Brennan, here to do the Backstage Report for you guys. Sean is not here yet again. He will be back next week and he will be back tomorrow for a Q&A. But a lot of news to get into this week, WWE, AEW, and otherwise. And let's just get straight into the news. We had some injury news last week on NXT. First of all, Wendy Choo returned during the Level Up tape and she was overwhelmed with emotion. And we had heard earlier on in the year that she was nearing a return to the ring. She was overcome with emotion when she got backstage after her return. And she was not the only one who made a return on last week's edition of NXT, guys. Wes Lee made his return to confront Obafemi and he very much made it clear that he was clear to go because for jumping from the crowd to the steel steps before confronting the North American champion. From what we've gathered throughout the time that Wes has been out with injury, guys, he it was looking like it was possible that he would never wrestle again. But at the bare minimum, he was expected to be out for a year. So he has absolutely smashed his recovery compared to what was expected of him, and he is expected to return to action next week against Josh Briggs on NXT. We did have some new news on potential movements post the actual draft. We've got news on Mike Rome. Mike Rome looks at the SmackDown announcer for the last little bit. Looks like he will be returning to NXT, where he actually started ring announcing for WWE in the near to immediate future. In regards to what will come from Alicia Taylor, there should be a report coming up on Select today, Monday, the 6th of May. But just to give you guys a little bit of a scoop on that, Alicia Taylor is expected to move to the main roster. She is not expected to leave the company. I know a lot of people were concerned about that, but she is not exiting the company anytime soon. Re regards to another call-up, Dijak, we did report that Dijak was picked as part of the supplementary draft after the official one finished last Monday. And sticking with call-ups and so on and so forth, we do have some contract news. First of all, Scripps will have his deal expire and he will leave the company next month at the start of June. There is another star that is going to be leaving the company at the same time. We'll get into that later. But sticking with last week's reports, guys, Dijak as well. We had an update on Dijak's contract. There has yet to be any negotiations, and as of today, a week later, there's still yet to be any negotiations on either side or even anything to really suggest that the negotiations are starting anytime soon. But yeah, but it is apparent that WWE and Dijak both want to re-sign in the near, not so distant future. Unfortunately, guys, there was some more injury news to report as Powerhouse Hobbs' injury was a significant one that he suffered on Dynamite against Jon Moxley with the IWGP Heavyweight title on the line. That is an unfortunate development for Powerhouse Hobbs, and we do hope to see him back as soon as possible. Some additional notes from last week's edition of NXT, guys. The rundowns for the show feature Lunja Blaze and Mae Young being used as placeholders for Mia Yim and Chelsea Green's appearances on the April 30th edition of NXT. This is not something that is completely new. I've seen this before on rundowns, guys, in NXT. It is just a way of trying to protect the surprise. And obviously, a Lunja Blaze was a lot more expected than you'd think, given the fact that she was part of the WWE draft the other day. Wesley was met backstage to a big reception from talent, production, and higher ups after his return. Everyone was absolutely delighted to see him back, as not many expect him to be back anytime soon. Amongst the talent we spoke to that remained at NXT after the draft, there was a sense of relief about not being thrown into the deep end on the main roster. Chelsea Green has been a talent requested in NXT for quite some time. There have been some pitches since Von Wagner's release to pair Green back up with Stone on the main roster. I've seen a lot of people rejecting this idea, but I think it'd be a really good idea. Robert Stone is a great manager, and his partnership with Chelsea worked exceptionally well. And he's at his best when he's being the Weasley heel for his clients. So we'll see if that pitch turns into a reality. With regards to main roster names heading down to NXT, I was told the reasons for no talent being officially drafted in NXT included a fear some talent would see it as a demotion, along with issues about the difference between main roster and NXT contracts in WWE. Main roster talent are expected continue showing up in NXT in the coming months, as saw on last week's NXT, with over 10 main roster stars appearing on the show. While the news has been broke now that WrestleMania 41 will take place in Las Vegas on Easter weekend, guys, we did have it earlier in the week that Minnesota was no longer the favorite to host WrestleMania 41. In the end, it turns out that it will be in Las Vegas on Easter weekend next year. So keep up to date with any updates on the developments and how the decision was made to go to Vegas by WWE. Moving on, guys. Ethan Page has left AEW and left Ring of Honor at the same time. Sources Fightful Select spoke to said that Page was looking to leave AEW as far as back as February. He was slated for an ROH TV title feud before these issues with Kyle Fletcher delayed them. Word within AEW and other companies was that Page is no longer with AEW or that his departure is a formality. That is a big, not a big exit, but big in the sense that we all know he does have his Alpha One wrestling promotion and so on. So hopefully Page will land on his feet. I'm sure WWE will be interested in him. I don't know that for sure. I don't know if he's going to NXT, guys, but I will be asking around to see if there is any interest. So keep an eye out for that post on Fightful Select later this week. So another re-signing, guys, happened this week. Seth Rollins re-signed with WWE. He is on the shelf after undergoing surgery on his knee. We saw him at a red carpet event the other day. I'm not sure which it was, guys, but he did look like he was in good spirits, clean shaven. But WWE sources confirmed to Sean that Seth Rollins will remain with WWE for years to come. We're told that it will be a multi-year deal for big money. We're told by one source that they're not going to let him go. And of course, guys, it is a very big signing. His deal was expected to expire in June, but he is staying with WWE for the time being. No update on Becky's contract as of yet, guys, but I imagine that's coming soon. So make sure to keep up to date with Fightful Select to find out when Becky resigns or if she doesn't in the end. On Friday, guys, there was a litany of NXT releases that WWE did cut from the roster. A lot of them were NXT Next Gen names. There was some names that were familiar to some fans. And there was two names that came out up that surprised some fans, and for a lot of fans didn't. But we're going to run through who we confirmed. We confirmed Daryl Mason, Vlad Pavlenko, Ezekiel Balogun, Kia Saint, Emma Diaz, Valentina Feroz, Keyshawn LaFleur, Trey Bearhill, and Julian Baldi. And now a lot of them were from the NXT Next Gen show, guys, but obviously the likes of Valentina and Trey have been in NXT for a little bit. And Trey in particular had impressed officials, guys, so there was a lot of confusion around Trey being released. But as for the rest of them, some people just signed and they're only just getting released. The Next Gen crew signed with the company back when they taped. They just weren't allowed to announce it until the show completely aired. That's why where the confusion for that has come from, guys. As for the other two names, guys, that were a bit of talk, PW Insider reported that Drew Gulak had been released. I reported that he was gone from the company, or apparently gone, but that did not turn out to be a case, guys. Just gonna correct myself with that. Gulak is still with the company and they're just letting his contract expire. I'll be back to that in a bit. But Gable Stevenson was also released from the company, guys, and I was told that that is not due to his history with the law, but more in the fact that he hasn't shown any much progress in recent years, or at least the progress that WWE would like out of someone who is an Olympic gold medalist. That's kind of the releases, guys. Boa was also included in the releases, guys, and I would like to express that I'm a bit upset about that, mainly because Boa has not really got a chance to hit the ground running due to injuries and so on. So, guys, we did have news on the new NXT lead producer yesterday. Wildly Fitting is responsible for the main roster's production and presentation on television. Fitting does not carry that role over to NXT, despite Kevin Dunn previously filling that role before he exited the company. I learned that man that has filled in for that gap is Vice President of Line Producing in WWE, Brian Fadem. WWE production sources told me that Fadem would previously fill in for Kevin Dunn if Dunn were absent from a WWE event and took over the lead producer role in NXT upon Dunn's exit. Production sources told me that that Fadem hit the ground running in his new role, but one source noting that it was like he picked up someone else's tools, cleaned them off, and used them like they were new again. From a talent perspective, the NXT talent noted that Fadem is much more open to suggestions from talent on camera shots and other factors of production, with the ruling opinion that Dunn was restricting the creativity of NXT production being NXT productions being prevalent within the brand. And there has been several cases, guys, where I've heard of where there's been shots in NXT that everyone's praised, that I've asked about, and it actually turns out that talent themselves had suggested the shot and Fadem had worked around it to get it on the show. So that's a good thing. Just one last note on Fadem, guys. According to production source, while Fadem is established, there are other names within NXT or learning the lead producer role. During the April 3rd edition of NXT, for example, Fadem did not lead produce the show, as another name was learning how to play the role of lead producer in NXT. And finally, guys, just to get into a little bit of a more serious topic, this is something that I've been working on for quite some time. Drew Gulak, during the backlash post backlash press conference, Triple H took a shot at both Fightful and or apparent shot at both Fightful at PW Insider, where he mentioned we weren't credible sources and so on. Turns out Triple H did reach out to us to apologize for that, and apparently he did with PW Insider as well. I'm not going to go into the details of that, guys. That's not my realm. That's down to Sean as the editor to go through. But in my opinion, I felt like it was in bad taste. But that's all I'm going to say on it. We're going to stick with the news. So me and Sean both confirmed that with multiple WWE and NXT sources that Drew Gulak, despite Triple H's assertions, is still with the company and but was informed he would not be re-signing with the company once his deal expires next month, around the same time as Scripps. As I was told, this is something that I've been told for quite some time. Even when the releases were happening, guys, I was told his contract is up next month. It'd be very strange for them just to release him now when they can just let his contract run out. In regards to the recent claims of sexual misconduct made by Ronda Rousey, I was told that this initiated an investigation by WWE into the incident and Gulak as a whole. From those we spoke to in NXT, the belief is that Gulak's public response to Rousey's claim only made things worse for the former Cruiserweight champion, but was not the determining factor in the decision not to bring him back. In asking around with talented NXT, several talent made claims to me that Gulak was a bully who would often target injuries during matches with talent that were recovering from minor injuries at the time. Now, this is something that got a little bit confused on social media, guys. I wasn't talking about someone working a limb as part of a match's story. I'm talking about the claim that was made to me by several was that if there was an injury that had been sustained previously, Gulak would purposefully wrench on the injury, re-injure the body part, or continue to work it despite the other talent being in an immense amount of pain. One talent claimed that during a match with Gulak, the former No Quarter Catch crew member purposefully re-dislocated a previously dislocated finger. And this is not the only time he's dislocated someone's finger, guys. I had it described to me that he was like Pete Dunne, but for real, with joint manipulation. So that's just one quote from a talent that I spoke to on the matter. A couple of talent also said to me, guys, that people are asking, well, how did it not come out anytime sooner? How did we not know about this? What two talents that I spoke to both noted that Gulak would intimidate talent into not reporting the incidents for fear of these talents being snitches or other factors being played into the fact that it's a he said, she said scenario along with Gulak. Because Gulak is a veteran compared to the young stars in NXT. And I think that's a part that makes me uncomfortable. I try not to talk about my opinion on news that much, guys, but it is a bit concerning to see someone who's a veteran take advantage of talent, young talent that are just kind of learning the ropes in NXT. But we also learned of an incident during an NXT taping last year where Gulak was verbally reprimanded by Shawn Michaels and NXT coaches for intentionally spiking an opponent during a match. Now, this was a moment that I was kind of a little hoping that it would take a little longer for people to figure out when exactly this was, because based off what my source told me. But yes, it was on an NXT Level Up episode last year where he would spike Dantich and on his head. It appeared like he was going for a scoop slam, but instead of completing the rotation, he did drop Chen directly on the top of his head and neck. A lot of people are saying that it was on his shoulder, guys, but if you slow the footage down, you can see that Chen landed landed on his neck and top of his skull. He was okay afterwards, guys. I want to make that clear. Dante Chen was clear. He wasn't injured in it. But Gulak was verbally reprimanded when he got to back after. And as far as I know, there was no other spiking incidents, but I'm still looking into it. One NXT talent who worked with Gulak noted that he was odd in the sense that he would often test talents to see if they would react to his bullying. That's just continuing on what I said. While Gulak is actually still under sorry, Jesus. No, sorry, that's all that's in the Gulak report, guys. That's relevant. But I will say this, guys. Since this report went live, I've had a couple of messages from wrestlers, not just WWE talent, but independent talent. And as far back as 2011, Gulak has allegations of these kind of just being stiff, re-injuring body parts and so on and so forth. And I'm probably going to end up having to do another write-up on this, guys, just on the sheer information that I'm receiving since the initial report went live. But yeah, guys, that's going to be it for the backstage report. I will be gone next week. This next week it will be Sean back again. Sean will be back with Q&A tomorrow, to the best of my knowledge. But yeah, guys, I hope you guys did enjoy me filling in for him these last 2 weeks. Yeah, guys, you hope you guys enjoyed, and see you all next time I fill in for Sean, I guess. Peace.